All right, so we are in a series, Take God at His Word. We've been reading a book going hand in hand with this message series. And I remember when I read this book the first time months and months ago when I was reviewing it to see if I even wanted to bring it before the elders to find out if they were, if they would, because I read it and then they all read it and we all kind of reviewed that together. So I remember the first time I read through it, I thought, This is health and wealth gospel stuff. That's what this is. And the guy even says in the first chapter as he's writing, he says, now this isn't what some have heard of as a health and wealth gospel. And I was like, yeah, it is. All right, show me. I'll be open-minded. I'll keep reading the book, but so show me how it's not. And I remember that was one of my first thoughts. And I thought, no, we're not going to be doing this. And here we are, second week into it. And you guys are second chapter into it. And if any of you guys, if you've never heard of the health and wealth gospel, that's a term that goes towards, and he actually describes it in the book as the type of theology that teaches that God is like this cosmic vending machine, that you go to God and he'll take care of whatever wish, whatever want, whatever you need. And you give your life to God and all of a sudden you're going to be healthy and all of your ailments are going to fade away and disappear and you're just going to have perfect health. And if you give your life to God, then he's going to take care of everything and he's going to give you fancy clothes and a nice job and a big house and extravagant vacations, and that's the health and wealth gospel. And as I was reading the very first part of this, I thought, that sounds a lot like what this is. But then he says in the chapter you guys read 2 weeks ago that he said, I believe that we have steered so far away from the ditch of the health and wealth gospel that we find ourselves in the opposite ditch on the other side of the road that says God does not work in our finances. We're hesitant to take God at his word and believe or teach this, what scripture teaches. The text says we'll be made rich in every way, which means we'll be able to share. And I remember thinking when I read that, I thought, you know what, he's got a point. And I've been very careful not to teach a health and wealth gospel. And so I've been very careful and I've kind of danced around some of the verses we're actually looking at in this series a little more in depth. Because I didn't want to come across appearing that way, or come across being misunderstood in a way, or whatever. So I just kind of moved over some of these verses. I might read them, I might teach on them a little bit, but not as in depth as we're hitting in this study. And as I read this book helped to open my eyes to realize, you know what? I think he's got a point there. We have gone so far, and I'm myself included, gone so far away from health and wealth that we don't. We've missed the middle of the road where we realize, you know what, God does work in our finances and God does reward those in material ways who are giving to him, who are, and he blesses us. And he blesses us in connection to our giving. And so today we're going to be looking at some things that you guys probably already know, just some reviewing some facts that we know and just bringing them all together. And we're going to be doing so in kind of a true and false type of way. So if you look in your bulletins there's not a whole lot to fill out. You've got blanks beside each one. And I want to interrupt those of you who like to go on and move ahead and predict things. Stay with us. Stay with us. That way you don't miss something, okay? It's not that big of a deal. You're going to be writing T's and F's. It's, you know, just because you finished early doesn't mean I'm going to finish early. So, you know, just stay with us. Stay with us line for line. And so we're going to start off, we're going to look at what God says. So what does God say? We're going to be looking specifically at this Malachi 3 passage that you read in your chapter this week. First of all, God says, God's house is filled with the needed provisions when his people thrive. True or false? True, yes. Going to write a T there. This is what God says. He says in Malachi 3:10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. See, God doesn't mix the practical logic here. He doesn't hide it at all, the practical logic in tithing. He's very clear. He's very upfront about it. He says, you bring the tithe, and that's how God's house is going to be supplied. In the Old Testament, it was the temple. In the New Testament, it's the church. And he's very clear about that. You bring the tithe, and that's going to supply resources for ministry. That's going to supply resources that we can get things done with. In the Old Testament with the temple and getting ministry done in that fashion. In the New Testament, the church and getting ministry done in the fashion that the church gets ministry done. And when there's abundant giving, or even when there's just the tithe, there can be great ministry things happen. There's resources available to make ministry happen. Now, when ministry is, or when giving is scarce, then the resources are scarce, and then ministry has to turn down the volume a little bit or a lot. And that's not what any of us want. None of us want to see that. And so God is very, very clear. Here's what happens. You give, and that's how his church, his house, is filled with supplies, filled with resources. And then God says, test me in this. True or false? True, absolutely. Put a big T there. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. God does not offer this often at all. In fact, there are other places in Scripture that discourage this. When Satan goes to Jesus to tempt him, and he tells him, hey, just jump off this high. He takes him to the highest point, and he says, jump off of here, and God will send his angels to save you, because he will not let any harm come to you. And then Jesus turns to Satan. He says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But on this topic of tithing, from Malachi chapter 3, God says, test me in this. And God says, you give 10%, and I will give a portioned blessing. You give 10%, and I will give a portioned blessing. Is that true or false? Whoa, good job. I'm proud of you. You caught it. False. Big ol' F there. False. God says, you tithe. You bring 10%, and I will open the floodgates of heaven. That's not a portioned blessing. That is a showering. That is unrestrained. And unrestrained coming from God means a whole lot more than unrestrained coming from one of us. So I hit my head on the board there, so I broke my glasses again. And so they're sitting crooked on my face. They feel weird. I'm going to be distracted. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. There won't be room enough to store it. Good luck in trying to measure that. Good luck in trying to understand. That's not a portion. It's not even measurable. I will give you so much that there won't even be room enough to store it. You give 10%, and that's okay. God says you measure your part out. That's God set up the rules. So it's, don't feel bad for doing that. You know, we go back to the whole guilt thing last week. Okay, wipe that away. God says very clearly, you measure your part out. This is our agreement. You take 10%. You take 100% of what you've earned. You take 10% of that off the front, and you live off of 90%. And you do whatever you want to do with that 90%, but you give the 10%, and that's our deal. And I will give to you in an unrestrained manner. I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you so much blessing that you will not even be able to store it. It's just amazing. And I've been cautious to preach as vividly on that as I believe that, bless you, as I would like to have, because I wanted to avoid for years and years and years that health and wealth gospel. And our study through this book has been something that's been a little bit eye-opening for me, that, you know what, I've kind of been cheating it a little bit, because that is what God says. Test him in this. See if he won't pour out blessings onto you. So that's what God says. I got to move quick. I got a bunch today. What about Jesus? What does Jesus say? That's kind of important too. So God says, what does Jesus say? Jesus said, it is more blessed to get than to give. False. That was too easy. And you read that in your chapters this week. Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, and he quotes Jesus. He says, Paul says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it's more blessed to give than to receive. The author tells us that his mom used to use this quote on him. Some of you probably remember you're hearing your parents use this quote on you. Yes? Hey, nobody? I got head nods but no hands. Yeah, yeah, a couple there. I wasn't even raised in a church-going house. We went to church on, you know, Christmas and Easter, and I remember hearing this quoted in my house growing up. It is better to give than to receive. Jesus also said, give and it will be given to you. True or false? True. Very true. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, give and it will be given to you. So you can write a T there. That is true. There will be a return for our giving. Once again, another thing that I was very careful to teach on because I didn't want to appear health and wealth gospel-ish. But Jesus says it, does he not? We just read it. It was up on the screen. Give and it will be given to you. There will be a return. And Jesus is very plain in that. Jesus goes on to say, your generosity and your return blessing have no correlation together. False. Good job. All right. So write an F there. False. Jesus says that our generosity, so our outgoing and our return, the blessing we receive from God, there is a correlation there. They are connected. He says, give and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So whatever you use to measure your giving out, your generosity, Jesus says that's going to be the baseline for what I return to you. And Jesus wants to make sure, I'm not going to cheat you, Jesus says. I'm going to take that same measuring cup you used. I'm going to pack it in. Make sure there's no air in there. I'm going to shake it down. Make sure it's as packed as it can get so that you know you're not being cheated at all. And then he says, I'm going to go a step beyond that and I'm going to make it overflowing beyond being packed full so much that it flows over into your lap. So there is a connection between what measure we use to give and what measure he will use to bless us back with. Once again, another one of those passages that I've been very careful to preach on because I didn't want to come across health and wealth. But that is exactly what God's word says, is it not? We're just looking at God's word. And we're saying, this is what it says. Here's what God says. Here's what Jesus says. Another thing that Jesus says, he says, I will take care of your physical needs when you put me first. True or false? True. Absolutely true. Jesus says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry. Seek God's kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Jesus says, put God first and I'll take care of your food. I'll take care of what you drink. I'll take care of what you wear. You put God first and I will take care of your physical needs. You don't have to worry about that. You just seek God first. And that's a tough one. That is a tough one. That takes faith. That takes a lot of trust. But that is exactly what Jesus says. Jesus says, I will do this. So let's keep going in this true and false game here. And let's look at my giving. Let's get personal here. My giving. Now, you guys aren't looking at my giving. You're looking at your giving, but we're all looking at my giving. Does that make sense? All right, so my giving. My giving can reveal the condition of my heart. True or false? True. This week I got an email asking about the story in the chapter that we read this past week. How many of you guys read this week? Chapter 2? Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's good. That's good news. When we were talking in our elders meeting, we were like, okay, the plan is to buy books for everyone. So it feels really good for me and I'm sure for the leadership to see all you guys raising your hands knowing that didn't go to waste. So I appreciate that a whole lot. So I got this email from this person asking about the story the engineer that had his life turned around when he started tithing. In the email, the person started off by saying, you know, thank you for sharing what I shared last week. And I got a number of comments about that. And I appreciate you guys sharing with me because it's not easy to be transparent about your negative stuff. It's easy to be transparent about the good stuff, which I'll be getting to in just a minute. I got some really cool stories today. But I've received a lot of positive encouragement about that. And this person included said, hey, I really appreciate you sharing that. It helped me to be able to feel a little more comfortable and to be able to get past some of that guilt associated with that and kind of etch-a-sketch that out, shake it out, get rid of it. And then they went on to their concern in the chapter. They said, anyway, reading this week's chapter, I was a little agitated, I guess would be a good word for it. and hoping you can better help, you can help me understand it better. But to me, it sounded like if you tithe, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you're cursed. I'm no doubt missing something here, but would like you to shed a different light on it. So I replied, and I'll read to you, and then I'll continue on after I read some of the email. I said, one way you can look at this is that reluctance to give to God your first fruits can reveal deeper parts of your heart. It can be representative of a heart that's not set in the direction to honor God's name. The author in the book referenced this verse from Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, that comes before this famous passage in chapter 3. Sometimes you can have all the symptoms of strep throat. You go to the doctor and they confirm. They say, yes, you have strep throat. Other times you have some of the symptoms, but it's just a common cold. My take on what he was getting at is that a heart that is unwilling to give is commonly a symptom of a heart that is not set to honor God and vice versa. A heart that is willing to give is typically a symptom of a heart that is set in the direction to honor God's name. Consequently, a heart that is not set in a direction to honor God's name isn't in a position to receive God's blessing, even if or when God blesses that person. They will miss out on the blessings of God. Furthermore, in many cases, as referenced in the book, God does curse those whose hearts are set against him. I think in most cases it is bigger than giving or not giving, but that giving or not giving can be an indicator that should be looked at and considered when we self-evaluate. Now, with all that said, it is very hard to argue against Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. God is very clear what he is doing and why he is doing it. I do believe that God blesses those who faithfully set their heart in a direction. Those who faithfully set their heart in a direction to honor God's name? Absolutely. Do I believe that giving is representative of a heart that is set in a direction to honor God's name? Yes. Is withholding from God, giving or otherwise, grounds that justify God's curse on a person? For sure. Apparently it is in Malachi chapter 3. Does it mean that everyone who does not give 10% will be cursed? I think that would be carrying it too far. It was the case for the Israelites when God was speaking through Malachi to them, but it was clear that that wasn't the only problem they had, that that was a symptom of hearts that were set against God. I think we can all agree that our giving is a reflection of where our heart is, and it is definitely something that we can use when we reflect on ourselves. In Malachi chapter 3, it was evidence, it was a symptom of hearts that were set against God, as he mentioned in chapter 2. In the story I shared last week, when I was in a giving rut, a giving issue there, I don't believe that I was in a place where I was in full rebellion against God, where my heart was set against him. Was I in a place where maybe I failed a faith test? I could say that. That would be a very fair statement. But was I in a place where my heart was set against God, in a place where I was deserving of a curse, or in a place where I was in danger, in a curse risk? I don't think so, but that's something where we have to look and see our heart, see our giving, and then say, okay, what is this saying about my heart? And it gives us something to examine there. And I think it is a little bit of a red flag, or even at the very least a yellow flag, a caution flag saying, hey, you need to take a look at your heart and see where you're at here. So giving can reveal our hearts, and it doesn't always reveal that your heart's set against God, but it helps us to be able to see some things either with our faith, our trust. Sometimes it is so far as we are like the Israelites in Malachi chapter, or in the book of Malachi. All right, another true or false statement. Keep trucking. It should surprise me when I'm blessed after giving. False. False, correct. It should surprise me when I'm blessed after giving. False. Do we give specifically to get? Absolutely not. That's not the motivation at all. But in light of the things we reviewed today, just a few of the things that we've reviewed, what God says in Malachi 3, what Jesus says, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't give in an expectation to get. But when we give and we're blessed, that's what happens. That's what God does. And man, oh man, I've got so many stories, and I had a slew of stories back in November, December, and I should have written them all down because it was just one after the other. And they were little things. There's a little salt and pepper in my life, and it was just pretty amazing stuff. And I didn't write it down, so I missed those. I tell you what, I've got just a slew of different stories. I drive a Lincoln Aviator. Okay, some of you guys know that. If you don't, you know it now. Yes, the preacher drives a Lincoln. Okay, and it's because God blessed me with that car. God blessed me, and I'm not ashamed of that at all. In fact, the story is a really, really cool story. but some people have an issue with that. True story, someone who stopped coming to our church, one of the reasons they gave was because the preacher drives a Lincoln. True story. We come to church and we hear that the church is struggling financially, and we hear that, and when we see the preacher driving away in a Lincoln, something's not right there. So that's just amazing. And it's funny because the same type of people that will complain about me driving a Lincoln are the same that want me to dress up for Sunday morning. Is that funny? I mean, we want you to look rich on Sunday, but we want you to drive a rust bucket the rest of the week. We want you to come visit us in the hospital and we want you to pray the whole way there that you make it. We want that to be increased there. So that's just kind of funny. It's kind of when you see someone with the bumper stickers on their car and they have like save the animals and they have a Darwin sticker. That just doesn't fit. Survival of the fittest. We're going to help the unfit. Pick one. I don't believe in Darwin, so I can help save the animals and feel good about it because I believe in Genesis anyway. I'll get sidetracked there. So just pick one. But yes, I drive a Lincoln Aviator, and it's a super, super cool story. You know what? God has picked out my car. I haven't been able to pick out my own car for over 20 years, and I've only been driving for 27 years. So I picked out, the first few cars, and after that, God just took over. Back in 2000, my wife and I had cars that were just, they kept trading, and literally, they would trade their place in the car shop. We would drop one off to get worked on and pick the other one up. And then something else would go wrong with it, and we'd have to take it in, and it just got to where one died and the other died, and so we had no cars. So we ended up getting our first newer car. Actually, that was a new car. And so we got a 2000 Ford Focus, little blue Ford Focus, and we picked that car out together. But soon after that, my wife was looking into getting a job, or you got a job, didn't you? And so that was going to be very difficult to have one car and have two jobs. We didn't have any kids at the time. And so we were like, okay, we need a second car. And we don't know how we're going to do this or where this is going to come from. And so that weekend, we went home to visit our parents. And we were riding around with our parents. And her dad said, hey, I need to make a quick stop here. And so we stopped by a used car lot. And he said, I need to get my CD out of the Firebird. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You're selling the Firebird? And he said, yeah. He said, we don't need it. It's an extra car. And I said, well, how much are you guys asking for it? And he said, $13,000, but we'd give it to you guys for $10,000 if you want it. And I was like, this car, it was a 1998 Firebird, and this was in the year about 2000, 2001. So a 2-3-year-old car, 50,000 miles on it, garage kept, $10,000. That is a steal. And so I was like, wow, I would not have picked out that car for myself. I would have felt that would have been extravagant. That would have been over the top. I just wouldn't have felt comfortable making that jump. But I tell you what, God picked that car out for me, and I love that car. I drove that car for 10 years. And I remember Paul Hine here at the church. He'd love to go do hospital calls with me or to go do evangelism calls with me. And we would take 10 minutes getting him in the car and 10 minutes getting him out of the car. But Paul Hine loved that car. It reminded him of his old sports cars he owned. And man, that car, it was great on gas mileage. It was an anti-lemon. That car cost us virtually nothing as far as the maintenance stuff. We had some things towards the end, but for the first 8-9 years, it was solid. It just ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. And it was just an awesome, awesome car. And so God picked that car out for me. Never would have picked that out for myself. And that was just a huge, awesome blessing from God. Then the year that car died, after putting 150 plus thousand miles on it, earlier that year, my wife's grandmother passed away. My in-laws inherited her car. They had an extra car. When the Firebird died, They met our need. They had helped her brother out some other time. They said, hey, we want to help you guys out. We have an extra car. You can have our extra car. And so they gave us a 2007 Mitsubishi Galant, another God thing. I paid the Firebird off in 2006. I haven't paid a car payment for myself since, which is pretty amazing. And so the Galant, and I was thankful for the Galant. Let me preface it. I didn't really like the Galant. You go from a Firebird to a Galant, and it was just a basic Galant, you know. Well, I think it had power windows, but that, yes, it didn't have the crank windows, but it was just a step up from crank windows. And then I found out that this car was a California car, and it was going to cost just a lot of money in maintenance because there was a lot of regulations that they put on things. We had a radiator go out on it. It was a $300 job. The guy called me back, and he said, I'm so sorry. He said, the part alone is $900. And he said, I'm not going to charge you labor because I feel bad that I quoted you $300. Now I'm going to charge you close to $1,000. And so after that, I was like, you know what? I don't really like the car. I'm thankful, God. Thank you so much for the car. I really don't like it. It's going to cost us money. And at the time, it was still fairly young and had low mileage. It was under $100,000. And so I went to a friend of mine here in the church that was lucrative in his Craigslist automotive sales. And I said, hey, can you sell this car? At the time, the Kelley Blue Book was like $8,000 on it. I said, can you sell this car? Because my wife's car was getting old at the time. And if you can get $8,000 for it, I'll buy a $4,000 car for myself. I'll put $4,000 aside for my wife. And then she can get a $4,000 car. And then we'll be set for a number of years with a couple of $4,000 cars. And so he said, all right. So he made the ad and went to town, and people were calling him and different things. And he called me up one day and he said, I know you want money for your car, but he said, you got to check out this deal. There's someone that wants to trade you for your car. You got to check this out. And so I went, and it was the Aviator that drive now. And this guy wanted to trade me even, straight across, 2007 Galant for 2005 Aviator, it's bad on gas mileage. That's what I think this guy was trying to get away from, but it was sound. I had a couple of my friends check it out mechanically, in great shape. I've been driving it for 5 years, 213, I think I passed to 213,000 this past week, and had some issues, but God's been taking care of us. So that's why I drive a Lincoln Aviator. It's God. It's been God all along, and it's God blessing and God giving and God all behind all that. And I share that because I want you to know that it is what God does. It's how God blesses those who are giving to him, and not just financially, but giving their lives to him, giving their talents to him, giving their gifts to him. But it does connect financially as well. One other story I shared with you last week about how God blessed us with that large amount of money in 2016 and helped get us back on track, and we got a chance to pay off some debt. We tithed. We got $30,000. We tithed $3,000 right off the top of that. Immediately said, thank you so much, God. Here you go. And then after that, we got back on track, and we were tithing ever since then. And so 2016, that happens. Late summer, that comes to fruition. It had been in the makings throughout the whole year. We tithe off of that money. And $3,000 is a big chunk. When you get that much money in and you're like, man, we can pay this off, we can pay this off, we can get we can repair our HVAC, we can finish that bathroom we started 7 years ago. Family of four, we have one bathroom. So thankfully our house backs up against woods. TMI. We have boys. Yeah, my wife is wanting to make sure she gets the bathroom. So, we got that money, and immediately we said we want to tithe off that. So we gave $3,000 off the top of that, and then got back onto tithing after that. So that's 2016. Late in 2016, my wife starts getting these phone calls from some companies outside the company where she works. She works kind of in the medical field and in a kind of a unique position that she's grown into and really educated herself a lot in that. And so this company noticed her and they said, hey, we would like you to do some extra stuff for us to be able to go and give some presentations and be a consultant for our company. and travel across this region of the United States. And so she went to her HR people and shared with them everything, completely upfront about it. And they gave her their blessings. They're like, absolutely, this is going to give you more experience. It'll be beneficial. So she has to take vacation time when she goes out of town for these things. But man, oh man, it's a good trade-off because they pay her really nice for these. So 2017, she went down for her first little training in Dallas, Texas. She's been to, Well, she traveled up to Columbus, Ohio. Whoop-dee, that's not big, you know. But she's been over to Washington, D.C. She did a presentation over there in Missouri. She's been to Kansas. I think those covers a lot of some of the areas that she's been there. And they paid her really, really, really good for these things. And that's how we got to take our trip to Boston and New York last year. If some of you guys might have been thinking, man, Boston, New York. Boston, let me tell you, if you ever plan a Boston, New York trip, that's more expensive than Disney. I was shocked how expensive it was. But all of that, well, most of that was paid for with this extra job that God gave my wife. Now, did God want to bless that company with my wife? I absolutely believe he wanted to bless that company with my wife. Would he have blessed us with that opportunity? He gave her the skills. She's worked on developing them. But would God have blessed us with that opportunity had we not been faithful in 2016 with the money he gave us? I don't know. But I never have to worry about it. I never have to wonder. I know this is what we did, and this is what he did. And that's a testimony. That's what God does. And I've seen it time and time and time and time again. Many, many, many stories. Let me skip all that. So yeah, a little tail end story on that. Ryan had shared at the very beginning of this, actually the week we were passing out books, about how he and Heather give. They have it set up to where it's an automatic deduction. So they worship in a very consistent way. They worship through giving in a way that is automatically deducted from their bank accounts. And that's the way they give. And it's a great, great example of here's one way that you can give. My wife and I have a different way of giving, and it's very different, but still it's worship. And so I will write the check, and that's my part of worship in there. I get to write the check, and then I'll leave the check for my wife, and I'll leave it in a specific place for her to pick it up and bring it in here on a Sunday morning. And then she gets to give it, and that's so we get to share in the worship of giving. That's how we do our offering. Well, we were coming up to our Boston, New York trip, and I had a tithe check that I wrote, and I put it in the place where I put my checks for her to grab. And then I came in Monday, and it was still there. And this was weeks before a vacation. And I reminded her, I said, hey, we've got a tithe check, if you can get that in there. And then came in again, and it was still sitting there. And I was like, you know, the next week. And so it came the week of the vacation. I was like, we still had that tithe check. And I was like, all right, I'm skipping my wife on this one, because I wanted to get it in there before we took our vacation. I wanted it to be a thank you, God, for allowing us to take this vacation. And not buying into the health and wealth gospel, not saying I want to give to get, but in all the experience that I'd had in the months prior, and in the years prior, but a lot, God's been really, really encouraging me in this area since we got back on track a few years ago. And so I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to do something to stand in the way of any blessings that he was going to bring me. I wasn't expecting blessings, but I thought, you know what? If there's floodgates to be opened, here you go. Open if you want. If you don't, I'm fine. I'm going to Boston and New York with my family, and we're going to watch whales, and we're going to walk around the city. And we walked like, I don't know how many, it was many, many miles. What was it, 55 miles? It was like 10 miles a day average. 8 miles a day, I think, is what we average. But so I want to make sure that got in there, because I want to make sure that nothing stood in the way of God blessing us because of all that he had been doing. Next, true or false statement. We'll hit these pretty quick. Giving requires faith and trust. True, absolutely. Move on to the tithe. A tithe is giving to God 10% of a person's income. True or false? True. That is what a tithe is. It literally means 10%. True or false? There are over 50 references to the concept of the tithe in the Bible. True, yes. There are 15 uses of the word tithe. There are 19 uses of the word tithes. There are 17 uses of the word tenth in a reference to giving a tenth or giving a tithe. There are many other references to the word tenth, but there are at least 17. That's just using the NIV. Different translations might have different numbers, but over 50 references there. The Bible speaks a lot about the tithe. The New Testament teaches that the motive behind God-honoring behavior should come from strict obedience to rules and regulations. True or false? Whoa, you guys should jumped on that. False. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a pause on that one because I really want to dig into that one a little bit. We're going to move that to next week, okay? So I want to explore something. I want to explore this last little point here with you real quick before we leave. Our church could easily increase our annual budget from $270,000 to $470,000. So you can go and write that number in. I want you to think about that a minute. Our church could increase easily. I debated on putting that word in there, but I believe that word belongs. Our church could easily increase from $270,000. That's what our budget is. If you guys will, you'll be getting your statements. Are they mailed out this week? Well, yes. So you'll be getting your statements with the 2018 budget, but I'll let you know, spoiler alert, our 2018 budget is $270,000. Could our church easily increase that by $200,000? True. Going to write a T down there. I know some of you guys, your T's are going to be really light or small or cautious. So let me do some. So in the renewing the focus, we've had these different. We haven't had a whole lot of. We're working behind the scenes. We got a lot of stuff going on with renewing the focus. We've got multiple teams going on. One of the teams that's going on right now is the demographics team. In fact, they finished up their work. Patty was heading up that, and Patty, high five, good job. She rolled her eyes. It was a work. What they did was they did a demographic study of our area. They kind of mapped out an odd shaped, you know, trapezoid, polygon, whatever, you know, and looked at statistics. There's a company that goes and they'll research all this for you, and they give all sorts of different things. And among that, we got a chance to see the average household income of the families in our area. The average household income for households in our area is 87. It's just 87,000. The other one has a 0.5. So 87,000, that's the average. Now the median income, and I'll explain the difference between these in a minute. The median income is 69.5, okay? Average, what you do with an average is you take all of the incomes, you add them together, you divide by the amount of households. So you get an average. People who make a lot of money can make that average elevate a little bit. So when you see 87,000 as the household average household income for our area, that's a little bit elevated by some of you rich folks out there. Okay? So the median, the reason why there's a difference in the median, which is 69.5, we'll call that, we'll just round that to 70. Okay, 70K. And that's not, I mean, considering the average is so much higher, rounding to 70K for math purposes is not skewing it too much at all. But what a median is they take all of the household incomes and they find the income that would be right in the middle. So half of the incomes are above, half of the incomes are below. Does that make sense, the difference between the two? Okay, so we'll use median because it's smaller and it's probably a little more accurate, a little more balanced to what we can use for a study like this. So we have $70,000. So 10% of that is what? Okay, so $7,000. So we'll do 10%. Okay, so $7,000. Now, we have in our church, we have 67 giving units. Okay, 67 households that are giving units, that give regularly, or at least give semi-regularly, partially. By the end of the year, there's 67, in the last year, we had 67 giving units in our church. So if you take that median, 7,000, just across the board, and you multiply that times 67, let me get my number right here to make sure I'm, okay, you get 469,000. Okay, so that's if everyone give. Now, you divide that by 52 weeks, okay? And that number comes out to roughly $9,000. Oops, my nine looks funny. Two, three. Okay? So, in fact, if you use the average, it's a little above. If you use the median, median, yes, okay. It's just slightly below. So 9,000 actually is a really good round number there. I want you to look at your bulletins. At the bottom of your bulletin there, on one of the sides of that middle column, you see the giving. Do you see that? We've got November, December, January. Okay, take December out. There were a couple of big gifts that were given in December. Some people like to get the end of the year gifts in there. You know, taxes, nothing wrong there, but sometimes December can be a little bit skewed and not be a good representation. But you look at January and November. Just give me a round number of what the average of those 2 months would be. 5,000. Okay? So we're at 9,000. 5,000. Well, actually, let me instead of that's what we actually give. What's our budget? What's our budget set up off of? Okay? So 52, just for math, we'll do 52. Okay? So this is just if this median correctly represents our church and the people that attend here, and we all gave just 10%, just the units that already give, then we could increase $3,800, $3,800 above what our operational budget is. It's not a pin, but if I drop it, you'd be able to hear it, wouldn't you? Is that amazing? And let me go back to last week. I assure you, I will never use guilt as a motivation to give. Please hear me on this subject. This is not guilt. This is not, you're not giving enough, give. This is, church, imagine what our church could do with an extra $200,000 a year. $270,000 pays our current staff. It pays our expenses. It pays the maintenance. When things have been tight here money-wise, Mike has dug his heels in. He's worked really hard. We've become very, very efficient as a church. And I applaud Mike for that. I applaud the elders, the leadership, everyone that's been involved in that process. We've become very efficient, very accountable. Very, everything's clear and running well there. We've been trained, we're set up for success. Imagine what we could do. Imagine, because everything's taken care of right now at 270,000. You add 200,000, imagine what we could do missions-wise. Imagine what we could hire two full-time staff with a starting pay of $49,000 and still have $100,000 left over to do amazing things with ministry. And for a lot of us, we're thinking, that's unfathomable, but it's absolutely fathomable. That's not including adding more to this number. That's not including people who are saying, you know what? 10%, I want to step it up above that. That's not including any of those. This is just saying, tithe, everyone that's giving right now. And that's how amazing it could be. Now, if we broaden this, just to think about this outside our church, imagine if God's church globally was doing this. Our church actually tithes very high on a national level. The national level is much lower than our church gifts. So you can applaud yourself on that. Pat yourself on the back, attaboy, attagirl. So we're above national average, quite a bit above national average. But imagine what could happen to God's kingdom if his people would take him at his word and give like this. So, so much we could do. Think about all that God said in Malachi chapter 3. Think about all that Jesus said about giving. Think about what your giving says and think about the tithe and the amazing kingdom benefits that can be part of that when we bring the tithe into God's house and his house is filled with resources for ministry. I'll let you think about that for a week and we'll reconvene this subject next week. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for these awesome examples of how you like to bless us, how you like to take care of us, how you have offered to us, test me in this. Father, I ask that you'd help us as we examine our hearts, as we examine our giving. A subject that's really, really, really exciting because of what you do in it, because of what you ask us to do. And it's just, I like it because it's so concrete. There's evidence, and you get a chance to put your faith into action, and we get a chance to watch you do things, keeping a vehicle that's over 200,000 miles running, and all the various things that you've done there have just been awesome. Things that you've done in my personal life, and the things that I know that you have done, the different stories I've heard from different people here in the church, and the ways that you've taken care of them and blessed them, and opened your floodgates of blessings. Father, I pray that you would help us to take you at your word, and that we would stretch our faith. We thank you so much for giving to us the gifts and talents that you've given to us, the means that we have through which we earn the money that you bless us with, and that we would be faithful to bring 10% back to you. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, oh man, an awesome subject. I was so excited to share this morning. And I knew I was going to have to watch myself. just because it's exciting. It's exciting to share how God is just, he's a God of blessings. He's a God that just loves and loves to give. And you just can't outgive God. And let me encourage you, just in this next song, as we're singing to God, as you're praying to God, as you're in conversation with God, just to have some reflection on this topic, and to let it be a window into your heart. And some of us, you're gonna have a window in your heart. And you're gonna be like, you know what? I like where my heart is right now. I want it to continue this way. I want to step it up. We're gonna have a dedication Sunday. We're gonna have a commitment Sunday in a few Sundays at the end of this series. And as we start preparing our hearts for that now and start looking into our hearts with just the window of our financial giving and looking into it that way and saying, you know what does my heart look like? You know, am I set up in a way that's in a direction with God? Am I walking by faith? Am I trusting God with my finances? And there's a whole gamut, a whole spread of different places where you can find yourself there. And this topic is a great topic to be able to look at and see that. You know, I once heard that a preacher say, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you what's important to you. There's a lot of truth to that. So this reveals our heart. Jesus says, I want you to store up treasures for yourself in heaven where moth and rust won't fade and they won't destroy. So for those of us who have already given our life to Christ, that's where our home is. Our citizenship is held in heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be storing up treasures for our heart there. And this is part of that. For those of you who are here this morning and you've never started that walk, and all this is so very foreign to you because you're like, you know what? I knew if I came to church, they were going to be talking about money. You know, and if this is your first Sunday here and you walked in, you're like, oh man, it's a money sermon. And it's not, it's a no holds, you know, I'm pulling no punches, gloves are off. It's money. It's a money. Money is up on the board. Dollar signs. Let me tell you what, set all that aside for a minute because the beginning of it all is Jesus Christ giving to you. Jesus Christ giving his life for you. And if you've never responded to that, we'll pause the money talk because you'll get to that. God will talk to you about that. First things first is giving your life to him. And if you've never done that, if you've never given your life to Christ, we want to offer an opportunity for you to do that right now. To come and to confess that you believe that Jesus is your Lord, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To repent, which means to turn your life to him and to be baptized into him this morning. This morning, if you've never done that and you'd like to do that, we invite you to come forward during this next song. This morning, if you've already done that and you'd like to place your membership here, we also invite you to come forward during this next song. If you simply need prayer, we invite you to come forward during this next song. If you have any of these needs, please come forward as we stand and we sing our song of invitation.